Today's shir is Masech, the Kedushin Daf Chav Tes. We will begin in Daf Chav Tes, Amin Aleph, at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kol Mitzvos HaBen Aloav. We're going to learn soon in the Gemara what exactly that means. But as we'll see in the Maskana of the Gemara, the Mishnah is teaching us that a father is obligated to do a number of things for his son. And Noshim Chayovim, it's only a father. The Noshim Petur is not a mother. So the Mefarshim obviously discuss, we're going to learn some very beautiful dafim of Gemara, but what do they have to do with Masechta Kedushin? So the simplest pshat, because as we just said, the Mishnah teaches us what a father is obligated to do on behalf of his son. And one of the things the Gemara is going to teach us that he's obligated to do is to find him a wife, which is obviously the subject of Masechta Kedushin. Another pshat that I saw is, as we have been learning over the last couple of days, the Mishnayis have made different categories in different subjects in Halacha. Here too, our Gemara Mishnah is going to categorize what men are obligated to do, what women are obligated to do. And another pshat is, just we've learned a number of sugyas that speak about kinyanim, how to acquire physical items. So certainly now we're going to begin learning sugyas that teach us how to acquire mitzvahs, which is really what we're in the world for. V'chol mitzvahs ha'av al ha'ben, again, as the Maskana will teach us, that a son is obligated to do for his father. Achra anosh v'echa anosh v'chayavim. Both men and women are obligated in kibbut of the aim. V'chol mitzvahs ha'seh she'ez ma'agrama, any mitzvah which is related to time specific, anosh v'chayavim v'anosh v'turas. And this is the famous rule that women are exempt from mitzvahs ha'seh she'ez ma'agrama. Why? So David Ram says a beautiful pshat. David Ram says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very concerned about Shalom Bayis. And if he knows that a woman is going to have to do a mitzvah which is time sensitive, you only have a certain time when you could do that mitzvah, and her husband wants her to do something else, so now she has a conflict. What should she do? Which could really cause problems in Shalom Bayis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't do the mitzvah. And if you're not obligated, you could take care of your family and not at the expense of your family life. What is a mitzvah saseh she'ez ma'agrama? So certainly, a mitzvah that, like a yontif, that comes from a specific time of the year, is clearly a mitzvah saseh she'ez ma'agrama. There is a debate amongst the Rishonim if a mitzvah cannot be done at a certain time, not because the mitzvah itself is limited to a certain time, just because of a side reason, a technical issue. For example, the halacha is that a carbon, when somebody brings a carbon, they have to make smicha, they have to put their hands on the head of the carbon. Technically, smicha could be done any time of the day or night. However, there is a halacha of tekef l'smicha shchita. The shchita and smicha have to take place one next to each other, and shchita could only be done by day. So not a mefarshim debate, is that a reason why smicha should be considered a mitzvah saseh she'ez ma'agrama? Because it's not inherently related to a time, it's only because it's another reason. There's also a question, if this exemption that we just learned about mitzvah saseh she'ez ma'agrama is only by mitzvah d'oraisa or even by mitzvah d'rabbanan. To machlokes, the Mishnah Berurah paskens that the exemption of mitzvah saseh she'ez ma'agrama even applies to mitzvah d'rabbanan. The Mefarshim go on to teach us, why does the Mishnah have to teach us that Anoshim Chayavim, men are Chayiv? Obviously they're Chayiv. Why should they not? Women are exempt, but not men. So I saw two pshat. The one pshat is that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that a Suma, somebody who's blind, is obligated to do mitzvahs, which is not clear what the halach is. We'll discuss it later in the parak. Another explanation is that, as we know, there are different mitzvahs that apply to Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Teaches us the Mishnah, that has nothing to do with mitzvah saseh she'ez ma'agrama. The chametz saseh shalai as ma'agrama, if it's not time sensitive, echad anoshim and echad anoshim chayavim, both men and women are obligated. Similarly, the chametz shalai saseh, if it's a lav, bein she'ez ma'agrama, bein shalai as ma'agrama, there, echad anoshim and echad anoshim chayavim, both men and women are obligated. Chutz, v'bar takif, v'bar tashchis, one is not allowed to cut his beard or his payas. And here is a machlokes rishonim. Clearly, everybody agrees that the Isra of cutting a beard or payas doesn't apply to women. The question is that there are really two parts to this lav. One is to cut your own beard or payas in the prohibited ways that we learned in Masechta Nazir, and the other is not to cut someone else's beard or payas. And the Rishonim debate, are women included in that lav also or not? The basis of the debate is how to understand that lav. Is that lav connected to the original lav? That since you can't cut your own beard or payas, you can't cut someone else's. So clearly it would not apply to women. Women, we just said, don't have that lav. Or are they two separate lavim? And just because they're not included in the lav of cutting their own beard or payas, it has nothing to do with the lav of cutting someone else's. Similarly, about the Tamil Mason, we know that Emor Kahanim, that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei, only to his close relatives. That doesn't apply to a Kohenis. However, the Rishonim point out that there are two times that the Torah prohibits us from coming Tamei. One is a Kohen, that we just discussed, and the other situation is on Yontif. A person has to remain Torah on Yontif. Chayiv Atz Adam L'Tar Atz Mevregel. That lav, say the Rishonim, apply to men and women equally, and that lav is not only regarding Tumas Mes, any Tumah a person should not expose themselves to on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, my comments is about an alav. What does it mean with the opening statement of the Mishnah? Ilema, komitzvus de mechayi bro lema'ebed l'abba. Any mitzvah that a son has to do in treating his father, nosh b'turim, women are exempt. Ask the Gemara, that isn't true, because v'atanya, ish, the Torah says ish, imay v'aviv tero, only el ish, which only teaches us that a son has the obligation to keep it of aim. Ish shemanayim, how do we know that this then applies to women also? Shoimer ish imay v'aviv tero. Tero is a lashon rabim. Harein tan shnayim. So we see that men and women are obligated. And even though, as we're going to learn, there are times that women are exempt. For example, if she's married and her husband wants to do her to do one thing, her father another thing, she listens to her husband. Our Mishnah, however, is making a blanket statement, and it's not true that all women are exempt from kibbut avim. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Hochikam. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Kol mitzvus haben hamutaros ala av lasis lebenoit. All of the mitzvahs that a father has to do for his son, anoshim chayovim, fathers are obligated, v'noshim peturis b'mothers are not. Says the Gemara, Tanina lahad etan rabbanan. It turns out our Mishnah is teaching us what we learned in the Braisa, that the Braisa teaches us, hav chay b'benoit, a father is obligated to make a bris milah for a son, and we're going to speak about each of these subjects individually in the Gemara. Luftoisai, to make him opinion of Ben if he's a Bechor. Lalamda Torah, to teach him Torah. Lalasiye Ishai, to marry him off. Lalamda Umnis, and to teach him a trade. V'yesh Aymrim, afla shita b'mayim, he has to teach him how to swim. Rashi explains why does a father have to teach his son how to swim? So Rashi says a pasha pshat, that chas v'sholem, the son will find himself at sea, and he's drowning chas v'sholem. He needs to save himself by learning how to swim. He could save himself. The Kotzker explains the Gemara somewhat api drush. Lashita b'mayim means how to teach a son. Lashita means there are waves in the water. A father is obligated to teach his son how to face the different challenges in life. There are waves that come at us in life, and a father has to teach his son how to react to those situations. Another pshat that I saw along the same lines, that how does somebody swim? He swims by his body is in the water, and he has to keep his head above water. What a father has to teach his son is, even though I'm teaching you l'lamdu umnas, I'm teaching you a profession, the profession, you should always realize, is only here because we have to make a living. But that's not what's important. You have to keep your head above the water. You have to remember what you're really here for, to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. On the same note, I saw that Rav Ozner, Paskins, and the Shalos HaTshuva Shevet Alevi, that included in the category of teaching a son a profession is that a person has to have a livelihood, is included that a person should buy insurance policies, health insurance, life insurance, put away money in for savings. That's all included, that a person needs to live. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosh Eina Melamdes Bnoi Umnes, if somebody doesn't teach his child a profession, Melamda Listus. He's teaching him how to steal. Ask the Gemara, Listik Sata Daita, where is he teaching him how to steal? Alkila Melamda Listus. Because if you don't have a decent way of earning a living, then you're going to Chas V'Shalom perhaps do something illegal. There's a Rabbi Baruch Ber quotes Rav Chaim Brisker, who says, the Gemara here, he says, is teaching us how much of a parnasa does somebody have to live and learn. He says, the Gemara is teaching us that what's the point of parnasa? You shouldn't be a listen. You shouldn't be abandoned. In other words, the obligation of parnasa and the obligation of umnis is limited up to the degree that you don't, you shouldn't be abandoned, but not that the father is obligated to teach his son to live in his panasa, and that's all that his life is about. On the contrary, panasa is only, don't be a lister. Says the Gemara, l'moy l'minolam, how do we know that a father has to make a bris milah for his son? The ksiv, v'yomo Avram es Yitzchak b'noy. Avram Avinu made a bris for his son Yitzchak. Says the Gemara further, v'heche d'loy mua le'avua, where his father doesn't make a bris milah, m'chayiv beidina l'malei. So then Bezdin has to take care of it. The Ksiv, Himo Lachem Kol Zachar. And as the Rishonim explain, the obligation of Bezdin doesn't mean specifically Bezdin. The obligation means that the community is obligated to see that every Jewish child has a bris milah. The question comes up, you should never have such a question, but the question comes up, let's say a bris milah is being done for a child who doesn't have a father. So we know by bris milah, two brachas are made. One is the moil makes the bracha ala milah, and the other bracha is the father makes, lachnisoi bebrisoi shel Avram Avinu. Who makes that bracha when there is no father, rachman al tzlan? So most paiskim I saw suggest that if there's a grandfather, the grandfather should make the bracha. Because we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow shir that a grandfather is also obligated in the chinuch of his grandchildren. So it's most appropriate that he should make the bracha. If there is no grandfather either to make the bracha, so I saw that there's some that suggest that the moel should make the bracha, and others suggest that the sandik should be the one to make the bracha. Says the Gemara further, v'heche d'loy mali beidina, if the bezdin didn't do the mila, mechayiv ihu lemal nafshei, he has to make his own bris. The ksiv, v'ol zocha shlo yimal spsar olosa v'nichrasa. Then he has karis. Now the question that comes up, which the Mechas Chinuch discusses, is how do we understand the father's obligation to make a bris mila for his son? Do we understand it that the father has an obligation to do a bris mila for his son? And that obligation remains forever. Even when the son is an adult, the father has an obligation to make a bris mila for his son. Or do we understand it that while the child is young, he can't take care of himself, so the father has to make him a bris mila? But once the child becomes an adult and he's capable of arranging a bris mila for himself, then he has to. Then father's obligation is no longer there. The Mechas Chinuch quotes that this is a machlokes marshinim. There's those that want to actually connect this question to another question, very fundamental question in Hilchas Mila. What is the mitzvah bris mila? Is the mitzvah bris mila that a bris mila should take place, or is the mitzvah bris mila that every Jew has to be a gemalata? Every Jew has to be somebody who's circumcised. If we see that the mitzvah bris mila is an obligation to do a bris, perhaps that's an obligation that the father has to see be taken care of. If the obligation is that every person has to be a gemalata, so that maybe is not the father's obligation, and the child, once he becomes an adult, has the own obligation. There's a very interesting Darkei Moshe that says, we know that every time if somebody could ask a shliach to do a mitzvah on his own, on his behalf, says the Darkei Moshe, a bris mila is not like that. And if a father is able to do a bris mila himself, he's not allowed to ask someone else to do the bris mila. He says a mitzvah milah of a father to a son is a, like tefillin. You can't ask somebody else to put tefillin on for you. If you could do it yourself, you shouldn't ask someone else. Very, very bechiddush. It's a Ramah that says it. I think he quotes an, he's quoting an Or Zeruah. However, the Paiskim do suggest that let's say the father is a moil, but he also wants to be sandik, and he can't be sandik and moil at the same time, then it's okay. Furthermore, they say that even if the father's a moil, but he participates, even if he doesn't do the actual meal on his son, but he participates in preparing the child for the bris milah, that could be is satisfactory to satisfy the Ramah's concern. Ask the Gemara, Ihi Menolan Dolem Mechaiva, how do we know that a mother is not obligated to make a bris milah for a son? The Ksiv, Kasha Tziva, Oisoy Elokim, Oisoy V'loy Oisa. The father, but not the mother. Ask the Gemara, Ashkcha Miyad, the Doris Menolan, and there are two ways of understanding the Gemara's question. One way of understanding the Gemara's question is, how do we know that in all generations, a father has an obligation to do a bris for a son? Maybe it was only by Avram Avinu. That's one way of learning. Another way of learning is, how do we know that this exclusion of the mother applies for only all generations? Maybe Avram Avinu took care, so Sarah was exempt. But how do we know in all generations a mother is excluded, a wife is, a woman is excluded? Tanit by Rishmo, says Rabbi Shmo, because the pasuk uses the word tzav, kol makom shnem tzav, en el ziris miyad uladaris. It means two things. First of all, the Torah is encouraging us to do it, and the Torah is saying it applies for all generations. The ksiv, v'tzav es Yeshua, v'chaskeyu v'amtzeyu, strengthen him, encourage him. This applies for all future generations. I did see that the Arm of Farshim that suggests that even though the Gemara is explicitly excluding the mother from obligation from doing a bris milah, that exclusion is as a parent. So we see that a father has a specific obligation. That obligation as a parent only is on a father but not as a mother. But our Gemara also taught us that if the father doesn't do bris milah, then Beis Din does it. That obligation, Beis Din, as we said before, doesn't mean Beis Din specifically. It means the community. The mother is a member of the community. So the obligation as a member of the community, that doesn't exempt the mother. She's a member of the Jewish community, and she therefore should make sure, like everyone else in the community, that her son should have a bris milah, which helps us understand a pasuk in the Torah where we see Tzipora. When Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make the bris on his son, Tzipporah took it into her hands. Not as a mother, because the mother is exempt. She took it in her hands as a member of the community. There's a very fundamental Tosfos here. Tosfos asks, how could the Gemara suggest that a mother should be obligated to do a bris milah? Isn't bris milah mitzvah sasei shezman grama? And we just learned in our Mishnah that women are exempt from mitzvah sasei shezman grama. The Taisa says that since the obligation to do bris milah once the child becomes 8 days old remains forever, so it's not considered a mitzvah seishas man grama. And the Mefarshim grapple in understanding Taisa's teretz, because until day 8, there is no obligation. So what are we saying from day 8 on? So there's a few ways that I saw that the Mefarshim tried to understand Taisa's teretz. Divrei Cheskel suggests that what Taisa means is that since a child is already born with a bris milah, the mallet, hatovstam bris is required, but technically that hatovstam bris can be done before the 8th day. So you see that the 8th day is not that hard and fast. Reb Chaim Briska, I'm just going to repeat what Reb Chaim Briska, this is known in the yeshivas to be Reb Chaim Briska's vart, so I'm going to repeat it as best as I can. Reb Chaim Briska says, it's not that it's a time delay, that a child only on the 8th day is mechuyev in a bris milah, not before. He says, the only individual who can have a bris milah is an 8-day-old child. He says, the way they say it in the yeshivas is, let's say a child can be born 8 days old, then you make a bris right away. So it's not considered as man groma. Another pshat that the Mefarshim suggest, why is a bris milah not considered, what pshat and taisvis? Because what does the bris milah do? The bris milah removes the arla. Halachically, of course not physically, but halachically there is no arla till the 8th day. So it's not pshat that the mitzvah only begins on the 8th day. There is nothing to do before the eighth day, because there is no Orla before the eighth day. But then, the Rishonim go on and say, we haven't really solved the problem. Because we know that a bris milah, even after the eighth day, can't be done at night. Even a bris shaloi bezmanoi. So again, we're still with a mitzvah seishas magroma, because it's a mitzvah that could only be done by day, not by night. So why does the Gemara think that women should be obligated? Many, many answers are given to this question by the Rishonim, by the Chayanim. We'll mention a few. The simplest answer is because we know that bris milah and Pesach are the only two mitzvahs asay that there's a chiyuv koras. So we would think that they're different than all other mitzvahs asay. Another answer is, when is there an exemption of mitzvahs asay shezman groma? When the two versions of this answer. One is when the mitzvah has to be done by me. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, a woman can't be obligated to do the mitzvah. She has other obligations. But bris milah, the woman doesn't have to do herself. She could take a mile. So that's why it doesn't fall under the exemption of mitzvah seishas man groma. Along the same lines, when is there an exemption of mitzvah seishas man groma? A mitzvah that the woman has to do for herself. This is not a mitzvah that she has to do for herself. It's a mitzvah she has to do for someone else, for the child. There we don't have an exemption of mitzvah seishas man groma. Another teretz goes back to something we spoke about a couple of moments ago. If the mitzvah a milah were to make a bris milah on someone else, so there, mitzvah seishas man groma says women are exempt. The mitzvah's milah is not to do a bris milah. The mitzvah milah is that he should be gemalit. So it doesn't really necessarily involve an action that the exemption of mitzvah seishas man groma should apply. One final teretz, there are more, I'll just say one more, is that since we find that the mitzvah milah was already given in the Torah before Kabbalah's Torah, ready by the time of Avraham Avinu, when does the exemption of mitzvah seishas man groma apply? Only to mitzvahs that are given after Har Sinai. But mitzvahs that were given to us before Har Sinai, the exclusion of mitzvah seishas man groma does not apply. Continues the Gemara Leftoisai. A father has an obligation to make a pinyan aben for a son. Menolan, the ksiv kol b'cha b'necha tifta. Says the Gemara, the heicha d'loy parka avua, where the father doesn't make the pinyan aben, mechayiv iu l'mifrike, then you have to make your own pinyan aben. The ksiv, pada sifta. The e, menolan d'loy mifkada, how do we know that a mother is not obligated? The ksiv, tifta. Whoever has an obligation to redeem himself, mitzuva lifteis acherim, is obligated to be paid to others. The kosh ain't mitzuva lifteis atzmai. However, whoever doesn't have an independent obligation, ain't mitzuva lifteis acherim, doesn't have to be paid to others. Has the Gemara v'iyu menolan delmai chayv lemifka nafsha? How do we know that a mother doesn't have an independent obligation? Women don't have the ksiv tifte tipada. Whoever has to be redeemed by others, mitzvah lifteis satzmai, should redeem themselves. The kol shech enachem mitzvah lifteisai, whoever others don't have to redeem, ein mitzvah lifteis satzmai. But we're sort of in circular reasoning. So ask the Gemara, menayin she enachem mitzvah lifteisai, and how we know that a father isn't obligated to redeem his daughter who's a bechayra? The makra kol becha benecha tifta benecha v'lo benasecha. The Sefer HaMatna makes an observation, which is a halacha, that unlike in the previous Gemara, where the Gemara says that if a father doesn't do a bris milah, Bezdin, Klal Yisrael have the obligation to make sure that the child has a bris milah, here there is no obligation on the Bezdin. And the Mefarshim explain why. Mefarshim say because a bris milah doesn't necessarily cost any money. A pinyan aben by definition costs money, and the Torah never gives that kind of obligation on the community. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim suggest that this is one of the reasons that our minig is that a shachiyanu is made by a pinyan aben, but a shachiyanu is not made by a bris milah. Because a pinyan aben is something that only the father could do. So that's why it's a much bigger simcha versus a bris milah, where it doesn't necessarily have to be the father. There's an interesting shaila which should never come up. What is the din if a child doesn't have a father when he becomes 30 days old? So the Gemara just taught us that he should do his own pinyan aben. So what do we do? The Ramah says, fascinating Ramah. The Ramah says what you should do is prepare a necklace with a silver plate, that inscribe on the silver plate that this child is a Bechor who did not have a pinyan aben, that the child should wear around his neck until he becomes of age and is paid himself. That's Drama. Shach disagrees, and the Shach says, certainly if there's someone who's prepared to do the pinyan aben for the child, even though Nebuch, he doesn't have a father, certainly someone should do the pinyan aben. The Chassam Sofer sort of makes a compromise. He says we should prepare this necklace, but somebody should do the pinyan aben al tanai. If the pinyan aben will not be done by this child as he becomes adult, so the pinyan aben should be effective. If not, it should remain not effective. Tana banim. Who liftoys uv noy liftoys? There's a father who never had his own pinyan aben, and now he, Baruch Hashem, has his own son. So who, and he only has limited funds. Whose pinyan aben should come first? Who koydim l'b'noi? He should take care of himself before his son. Rehu daimer b'noi koydmai. The son should come first. Shezeh mitzvasoi al aviv, zeh mitzvas b'noi aliv. His father should have done his pinyan aben, but he has to do his son's pinyan aben. So the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha, asks a simple question. He says, we know there's a halacha that I'm a vazbez ali vazbez yoyis mechaymish. Somebody doesn't have to spend more than 20% on a dvar mitzvah. We're obviously speaking here about a person who's very limited funds. He only has chamesh lahim. He doesn't even have two times chamesh lahim. He only has it once. So does he have to spend money on a mitzvah? So the Mishnah Berurah answers a very bechidish. He says the rule of amvazbez ali vazbez yoyis mechaymish is referring to an individual that doesn't have a steady source of income. He has only this much money, and he has no job, he has no source of income. So there, Torah tells him don't spend more than 20%. However, in a situation where a person has a steady source of income, he doesn't have a lot in the bank, but he has a steady source of income, there the rule of Vazbez Yos Mechaymish doesn't apply. That's to be Allah's teretz. Ramesha gives a different teretz. Ramesha says as follows. He says, where does the rule of Vazbez Yos Mechaymish apply? He says like this, if I'm going to spend money to buy an esrik, so the Torah tells us, the halacha tells us, don't spend more than chaymish of what you have to buy an esrik. But when the Torah gives us a clear amount, what should be spent to do the mitzvah, the Torah clearly tells us the chaymish sloim should be spent for pinyan aben, that rule doesn't apply. On Rabbi Yirmiyah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah now analyzes this machlokes. Everybody agrees that if there's only chamis loim, and the father has no way of getting more than those chamis loim, who koydim lebnoi? He has to take care of himself before his son. My tama, mitzvah de gufa adifa. He comes first. Ki pligi, when is the machlokes of the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda? Hecha de ikka chamis mishabadim, v'chamis bnei chayim. He has five sloim, and he also has five sloim that are mishabadim, he sold property. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, most of the ksuba Torah, kiksub bishta adamya, the obligation the Torah gives him, opinion of Ben, is as if he has that full-fledged obligation. So what he should do is as follows, says Rav Yehuda. Behadei chamish panak libray, the five slime that he owns, he should use for opinion of Ben. And now for the other five that he needs for his own pigeon, azul kain v'tara flay l'chamish mishbadim l'day. That the kain should collect the chamish slime. Rabbanan tzavri, however the Rabbanan hold, milvah d'ksub b'raisa, a milvah that's written in the Torah, lav k'ksub b'shtar domya, is not as if it's written in a shtar, so if the mitzvah d'gufi adif, he has to take care of himself first. So there's a very big machloikis rashi in Tosfos, how to explain this gemara. First, we basically learned with Rashi's Pshat. We'll explain it a little more based on the explanation of the Pnei Yeshua. Rashi holds as follows. Certainly, if the father only has Chomis Sloim, and he's not going to have access to more than those Chomis Sloim, he has to take care of himself first. But if the father has access to two times Chomis Sloim, then the din according to Yehuda changes. And then according to Yehuda, you have to take care of your son before yourself. So you should use the five Bnei Chayrin for the son, and the five mishabadim for himself. Tosfos takes issue with Rashi. He says, if you have to take care of yourself first, what's the difference if you have access or you don't have access? Therefore, Tosfos has an interesting pshat. Tosfos says like this, we have a person whose name is Yaakov. Yaakov has a son, Reuven, who's a Bechor. What should Rav Yaakov have done? He should have done a pinyan event for his son. He didn't. What did he do? He sold off his assets. Now Reuven has a son, Chaim, who's a Bechor. Says Tosfos that from the assets that the grandfather, Reuven, Yaakov, had sold off, he had no right to sell off all of his assets. Because Chomesh Shloim of those assets, he should have used to be paid to his son, Reuven. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says, those Chomesh Shloim go for Reuven's pigeon, and the money that Reuven has, those Chomesh Shloim, he should use for his own son. Rav Shlomo Zalman, in the Shalos HaTshuvos Micha Shloima, asks, based on the Gemara we learned earlier, why couldn't the father do the following? He should take Chomesh Shloim, do a pigeon, with a matana manas lahachzer, get back the Chomesh Shloim, and then do it again. So Shlomo Zalman says it's a great piece of advice, but you have to make sure the Kohen gives you back the Chomesh Shloim. If it doesn't give you back the Chomesh Shloim, that's what the Gemara is concerned about. Tana Rabbanim, liftus es benoi ulaus l'regel. So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, which is the way we're going to learn the Gemara, again, we're dealing with a person with limited funds, and he only has enough money either to do a pidyon aben or to be oil or regal. The halacha is, the Tanakama holds, poydus benoi v'achkach oil or regal. Pidyon aben goes first. Yudayma, oil or regal v'achkach poydus benoi. Alil or regal goes first. Why? Explains Rabbi Yehuda. Shizu mitzvah veris. The clock is ticking. After Yontif, there's no alil or regal. The zoo, mitzvah shena veris, pidyon aben, you could do it any time. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda, could have come at Tamar. Rabbi Yehuda just explained his position very well. El Rabbonon, my Tamayu, how do we understand the position of Rabbonon? Answers the Gemara, the Amakra, kol b'cha v'necha tifta, first the Pasuk speaks about pidyon aben, v'hada lo yirah p'nei rekom. And therefore the Torah is teaching us, according to Rabbonon, the pidyon aben comes first. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, why don't we say tadr, v'she'ena tadr, tadr kaidim? And we, the mitzvah of Leila Regal comes up much more often than the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. It only comes up once, maximum. Answer the Mefarshim, the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is not to be viewed as a one-time act. Mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is that a person who's a Bechor has a constant obligation to be a Padui. That's 365 days a year. So actually the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen is more Tadir than a Leila Regal. Tana Rabbanan. If somebody has five wives, five bechorim, a bechor from each wife, shechayv liftas kulan, that he has to independently make a pidyon aben for each bechor separately, tamaloymer kol bechor benechat tifta. Ask the Gemara, pshita, it's obvious, pepeter chamor, the Torah speaks about peter rechem tal rachmana, and this is the firstborn child. Answers the Gemara. We should learn a gzer shava from Yerusha. Malahalan, who is considered a bechor as far as Yerusha is concerned? Reishis Oinai, a person can only have one bechor as far as Hilchos Yerusha. Afkan, we should think Reishis Oinai, there's only one bechor. Kamash Malan. Lamda Torah, so we learned that the father has an obligation to teach his son Torah. Menolan, the ksiv v'lamadatem oisem es b'neichem. Says the Gemara, v'heicha d'loy agmari avua, if his father didn't teach him, m'chayiv ihu l'migma nafshei. And he has to go learn on his own. D'ksiv v'lemaratim. You should learn yourself. Ihi m'nolon d'loy m'chayivi. How do we know that a mother does not have an obligation to teach a son Torah? D'ksiv v'lemaratim v'lemaratim. Whoever has an obligation to learn himself, has to teach others. Whoever doesn't have an independent obligation to learn, does not have to teach others. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that a woman doesn't have an independent obligation to learn Torah? Whoever others have to teach, mitzvah lamed, this athman has to learn themselves. The culture, and a chayim mitzvah lamedai, whoever others don't have to teach, ain't a mitzvah lamed, this athman doesn't have to learn themselves. But ask the Gemara, umanayish and a chayim mitzvah lamedai, how do we know that a father doesn't have to teach his daughter Torah? Dabakra, v'lamatem oisam espenechem, v'levinoisechem. However, we all know that the Rishonim already say that even though our Gemara is teaching us that women are exempt from Talmud Torah, doesn't exempt them from learning what they're obligated to learn, to do the mitzvahs. As we learned already in the Mishnah, women are obligated in all mitzvahs, loisa say. So, and all mitzvahs say shalai is magroma. And though to learn how to do those mitzvahs certainly is in the category that the women must learn. And in fact, that's why the Beis Yosef Paskins, which is our minig, that women make a birchas ha-tayra. Women should make a birchas ha-tayra because they have to learn what is relevant for them to know how to act. As the Beis Halevi explains, there are really two aspects to learning Torah. One is the mitzvah to know how to live as a Jew, and one is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that you have to learn even if it has nothing to do with your day-to-day observance. The mitzvah of learning Talmud Torah, that you have to learn all of Torah, doesn't apply to women. But the mitzvah that you have to know what to do certainly applies to women equally as to men. Furthermore, there's a famous letter from the Chafetz Chaim and from other Gedolei Yisrael, this is in the time of Sar Shneira, that says certainly in our times, the Chafetz Chaim is talking about his times, it's certainly relevant in our times, where previously women learned Torah from, learned what to do from their mothers and their grandmothers, but that type of learning no longer exists. We now have to teach girls, women, Torah, that they should know what to do, not just the dinim, but also how to be proud observant Jews. Tan Rabbanan, hu lomad u b'noi lomad. We have a question. There's only that much time. There's only that much resources. The father could go to yeshiva, the son should go to yeshiva. Who goes first? Hu kadmu b'noi. So the Tanakam says, you have to take care of yourself first. So the Ben Yehuda explains, our Gemara is not referring to a situation where the son will remain a total Amoritz. Of course, the father has to make sure that his son will be an observant Jew. Our Gemara is referring to a case where both of them have learned the basics, or maybe more than the basics. Now it's a question of spending the rest of the time learning. Who goes first? So Tanakam says he goes first. If you have a son who has potential, then the son goes first. So I saw from the Brisker Rav that he says, this is how we can understand a pasuk that we say three times a day in Krishma. It says, Vishnantam uvanecho lemaratem aysam. The Torah speaks about first teaching your children and then learning yourself. Ask the Brisker Rav, it's out of order. First you learn and then you teach your children. So it says, what's pshat in the pasuk? The pasuk is teaching us this thing, that even though you have an obligation to learn, but you also have an obligation, the obligation to teach your child, if he could really become a Talmid Chacham, precedes your own obligation. I saw that Chabina Rav has a different pshat. He says as follows, the Torah is teaching us what should be the communication between a father and a son. Father and son shouldn't speak about narishkeiten. Vishinantam, you should teach your children Torah, so then what will you talk to your child about? Not narishkeiten. Tibatabam, you talk to your son about Torah. Says the Gemara, Kihad of Yaakov, Raider of Achab Yaakov, Shadri Avul Kameh Dabaya. His father sent him to Abaya to learn. He asked her, when he came back home, Chazid Alavim Chazid Bin Shemaitzer, so they really wasn't succeeding in learning. Amalei Anar Adifa Menach, I'll have more success than you. Tuv At, you stay home, days will know, and I'll go to yeshiva. Shama by the cover costa. So Abaya now heard that he's coming to the yeshiva. Have I whom mazik be rabbonin, the Abaya, there was the shade that was in the yeshiva Abaya, the ke'av, even betray a feeling by your mama. Even if two people went in by day, when normally a shade doesn't start up by day, normally a shade doesn't start up with two people, this was a strong shade, have a mazik. He still did damage. Amalu, so Abaya told the people of the city, nobody should offer him where to sleep. So he'll have to sleep in the yeshiva. Efshe de Mesrachis Nisa. And a nes will happen. All bas bahu bei rabbanan. So he went and slept in that yeshiva. Idmele, and the shade appeared to him, kedhamnina de shivarisha, like the snake with seven heads. kriya dekara, every time the snake, every time he bowed down, nosachad reisha, one of the heads of the snake fell off. Amar lemacher, so the next day he told Abaya, Eloy yisrach hashnisa, if not for the snakes, that I was able to kill the snake, sakantim, you would have put me in danger from the shade. Mefarshim explain, some say that he bowed down seven times, another say that he said Shmon Esrei, and in Shmon Esrei we bowed down seven times, and that's how he killed the snake. Ask the Mashah, how could have he done this? Ask the Mashah, you're not allowed to put a person into a place of danger, and even if you put a person into a place of danger, we take away from his chusim. So how could Abaye have done this? So the Mashah explains that Abaye was certain that he was such a great person that there would certainly be a nes. But that still doesn't answer the second question. How could you do it to him? So I saw two answers. One answer is he was being mispalel here for the tzibur, that people should be, the community should be able to use the space medrash. When somebody does something on the benefit for the tzibur, it doesn't affect his chusim. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw from Cheska Levenstein. What's pshat that they take away from your chusim? If you do something, they take away from your chusim. Davening is not a reason that you lose your chusim. That's the power of tefillah, says Cheska Levenstein. People who are erlich people have the power of tefillah that they could accomplish whatever they have to accomplish, not at any detriment to themselves. Tana bonim. Lo matayra v'lisa isha. Somebody has to learn Torah and get married. What goes first? Yom Torah v'akach yisisha. First, he should learn and get married. V'im evshle b'lo isha. He can't be without a wife. Hehuri aveira. Yisisha v'akach yom Torah. Amar Yudah Meshmul. Halacha, the halacha is, nois isha v'akach yom Torah. First get married and then get learn Torah. Rav Yochanan Amar, v'chayim b'tzavoroi v'yask b'toroi. How could you learn when you have this around your neck? Says the Gemara, v'loi pligi. Halan v'halahu. And here we have a big machlokes again, how to understand halan v'halahu. Rashi explains, halan, in Bavel, they used to get married, and then go off to Eretz Yisrael or to other places to learn. So they had the best of both worlds. They were married, but they didn't have any headaches because they weren't home. So they should get married first. And Eretz Yisrael, they didn't travel elsewhere to learn. So they should learn and then get married. Tosfos is very bothered with Rashi's pshat. Tosfos says, if you're going to get married and not be with your wife, what have you accomplished? So Taisa says, in Eretz Yisrael, they were wealthy. So they could get married, and they'll be able to learn because they still have resources to learn. And Bavel, where they were poor, once they got married, they had to go to work, so they should delay getting married. Another pshat is it depends, the Rishonim say this pshat, it depends on who you are. Some people have hira aveira, so they should get married. Some people don't have that problem, they could delay getting married. Another pshat, it depends on who your wife is. If your wife is ready to go work, so you should learn, so you can get married. If you don't have a wife that's going to be ready to go to work, then you should delay getting married. Says the Gemara, Mishtabach le'Rav Chisda le'Rav Huna, Rav Chisda used to praise in front of Rav Huna, but Rav Amnuna, regarding Rav Amnuna, saying the Amal Gadlhu, that Rav Amnuna is a great person. Amal Kishiyov le'Yadcha, Rav Amnuna comes, Hevi le'Yadai, bring him here. Ki asa chazi de loy paros sudra. He saw that he wasn't wearing a sudra. Three pshatim. One pshat is that married people used to wear a special hat. Another pshat is that this is alminik, the Magen Avraham says it. The married men wore a talis, but the talis they didn't put on top of the head. And the third pshat is that they didn't wear a talis at all until they were married. Unlike my time, like priest of sudra. They asked them, why aren't you wearing? Amalei Dulein Sivis. I never got married. Adrina L'Apimnei. So he refused to look at him. Amalei Chazi D'Lechazuz L'Ape Adinafsis. I'm not going to look at you until you get married. Rav Huna L'Tamei. Why was Rav Huna so upset about him not getting married? Dama, because Rav Huna says, Ben Eshim Shona V'Lei Nasi Isha. If somebody's 20 years old and he didn't get married, Koyama Ba'Avera. Ask him about Avera, Salkadaitach. Ala'ema Koyama Behira Avera. We're concerned that he's that old and he didn't get married that he chas v'shalom will have Hirurei Avera. In fact, I saw a minig, I even saw Rav Chaim Kinyevsky quotes this minig, that if somebody is not getting married when he's 20 years old, that the night of his 20th birthday, he should stay up the entire night learning. Because Al Gemara is teaching us how you have to get married by the 20th birthday. So somebody, even though, as we're going to learn, our minig is not to get married that early, but the Gemara certainly makes an issue out of it, so to have a shmirah on the night of your 20th birthday, stay up learning. Amar Rava, the Chaitan Ber Shmo, At Chav Shana Yosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzapa LaAdam Masa Yosh HaIsha. Until somebody's 20, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits till he gets married. Kivin Shigia Chav, if a person becomes 20 years old, V'Loi Nasi Isha, Tipech Atzmaisav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says his bones should rot. Amar Rav Chizda, the reason I'm better than everyone else, then Sivna B'Shitza, I got married when I was 16 years old. They have the Sivna B'Abesa, had I got married when I was 14, have Amina, I could say to the Satan, Gira Beinecha. I wouldn't have to worry about the Satan because the schus of getting married would have helped me. In fact, I saw that the Paiskim suggest, even though the minig is that we don't get married in the second half of the month, once somebody is older, the mitzvah of getting married is so important, we don't look at any of these menhagim, just get married, the importance of building a family. He didn't get married early enough.
I thought he got married, but I was thinking, he spoke to Rav Huna, was the one who said, I'm not going to look at you, you're 20 years old, you're going to get married, but you just got married at 16.
No, Rav Huna didn't get married. It was Rav Huna that didn't get married. Rav Huna spoke